and thank Patrick for leading those songs, and the reason I thank him for that will be evident here in just a moment. I got a lot of books up here. I'll clean them out here in just a minute. The lesson that I want to talk about today is kind of personal in the sense of I've had some discussions with friends, family. Their family whose health has been deteriorating bad, and they're dying, or one of them has already died, one dying. And it's interesting to me. It's a pattern that you see in the world, and maybe so much of a pattern you even see in the church, is that people want to wait till the last moment to consider themselves with God. And maybe not even them, their family want them to at the last moment. And are willing to take shortcuts to console themselves that a person will be okay in heaven. And that concerns me. I've been reading a book, Family Circle. It was a lesson book or an adult lesson book by Leslie Dieselkamp done in the 60s and then also then redone or reissued in the early 80s, mid 80s. Now, I say that because I want to read a story a little bit, and I didn't want you to think I was making this story up of myself because he's talking about going several miles in a horse-drawn vehicle. Well, you know, I've never done that. Now, maybe I should have been able to, but I haven't, other than on a parade or a ride, you know, but not something serious. So listen to this. When we had to travel several miles in a horse-drawn vehicle, gospel meetings usually lasted 2 or 3 weeks and were attended by multitudes. Now we travel in fast automobiles, reaching our meeting place in a few minutes of very comfortable travel. We have time for only 5 or 6 nights of meetings, and that is rapidly being reduced to 2 or 3 nights. And we know that this is true. Today, the farmer's cows are milked by a machine. The bookkeeper's tabulations are done by a calculator or a computer. The mechanic does not repair a faulty part, he just replaces it with a new one. The dishes are washed by a machine, and the laundry that used to take all day now is done in 2 hours or less. We are surrounded by time-saving devices for the home, the factory, the farm, yet we seem to have less and less time to devote to people, if you will. And he goes on to talk about it a little bit. Husbands and wives spend very little time together. Families, parents spend little time with their children. They give them a task, but they don't really interact. They don't work, play, sing, and pray and talk together. They just watch TV together, which is really nothing wrong necessarily with the show once in a while, but it's not the engagement that we need as a family to remain, to keep a family strong. And it seems as also we don't really take enough time or have enough time even to know God. That we get so caught up in the world and we just sang about, you know, in 463, you know, the idea that the world is going by fast. We sang about that. Time is a part of that, right? And how the time that we have is precious. It's something that, and when we spend it, today is gone. We have maybe tomorrow, but if we're not careful, it's just going to be gone. And so we as Christians have to be careful that we're not caught up in that in the same sense that the world is caught up in that. In fact, we need to try to help those in the world to see that they need to be taking some time to slow down. The song that we sang next, Take Time to Be Holy, gives a real sense of the idea that taking time is a choice. And it needs to be a conscious choice on how we spend our time. It's not to say that we do other things and that they're bad things to do. You know, jobs and entertainment. Those things are all right. They're important things. But we need to be conscious about how much time they take, because we have to be able to carve out time for God. And God needs a significant part of our time. Now, God ought to be part of everything that we do, right? So when we're doing our jobs, we ought to be doing it well, as if we're serving God. And our entertainment ought to be right, and we ought to be thinking about God. But we need time alone with God. We need to be able to have time to pray. Jesus took time away from everything, away from his disciples, go up on a mountain and pray to God. And my concern is that maybe I don't do that enough. You know, if you reference the days that Leslie referenced, you know, when you're out working, or you know, there was a time when, you know, you didn't have your headset to take with you to listen to the radio and the news while you're driving the tractor. There was a time, you know, when you didn't have your phone where you could just pull it out of your pocket and check the news or the weather or whatever it was that you wanted to look at the moment while you're out in the field taking a short break. Because then you could use those times. Maybe you did use those times to consider God, consider the things that are around, and to consider how you're going to do things, because you didn't have that extra distraction or that extra tool that was going to help you fill your time. You had to fill it. You know, we're afraid to be, I'll hesitate to say bored, right? Now, we don't ever get bored, because we have a game. We have a Facebook. We have a text. We have some way to get in touch with people. And I'm not suggesting that people were necessarily bored before those things. Just a different use of time. Why is it that we have so many things that improve the amount of time we have and we have no time? Why is that? Well, mostly it's because we're not conscious of how we're using our time. So I want us to consider the song, take time to be holy. And then when we follow up at the end, the question, and maybe what I would title a lesson, the question would be, time enough yet? Do we really have enough time? You know, if you go back to Acts chapter 24, and you think Paul was addressing Agrippa, and Agrippa, what's he telling him? Well, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Right? Well, that's not really the one I want. He's only talking to Festus. Right? Go away. And when I have a convenient time, I'll call you. Is God at our convenience, or are we really making time for God? So the idea, take time to be holy. All right, so children of God are to be holy. We're told that in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16. We have to be holy in our conduct, even as our Father who called us is holy. When we describe God, we recognize that God is holy, and that holiness is something that we should pursue, if you read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, because without it, no one will see the Lord. So we have to make sure that our lives are molded in such a way that we are holy. So it requires something of us to do that. It requires our time, or a good portion of our time that is spent concerning ourselves with the things of God. The world is rushing on. The world is hectic. It is fast-paced. It is filled with activities that consume our time. And as we know from James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, our lives are but a vapor. You know, they appear, and then they just vanish away. And we all know that picture, and we understand what he's trying to say, in that it just goes by so quick. We get caught up in that. And before we know it, time slips by. I have to admit, I can sit down and I can pick up my phone, and then thinking I'm going to sit there 5 or 10 minutes. And then an hour later, I realize, oh, wow, I better go do something. You know, that happens. And I suppose I'm probably not the only person that happens to. It happens to other people as well. All right, so we must take time. Holiness, again, as we mentioned in Hebrews 12, 14, is something to be pursued. And that idea of pursuit is given to us also in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. Remember, Timothy is told to flee youthful lust, and he's told to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. When you say Timothy's being told there, instructed there to pursue holiness, that fullness of those things that would mold us after God would be considered holiness. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 22, he's told to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I would like to suggest that when we talk about pursuing holiness, we are pursuing those things that are going to make us like God. And those are the things that he has there. In fact, if you read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 22, he says, "But having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life." So when we think about fruits, you go read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 21, and you talk about the fruits of the Spirit, and we have those things. Those are the things that we're supposed to be growing into. That's the holiness that we're developing. And the end of that life, the end of our holiness, if we get there, if we have taken enough time, is eternal life, everlasting life. And it's not something that just comes, you know, just as an accident. And I think sometimes we think that we're going to, with what little time we devote, on Sundays and Wednesdays, or if we go Wednesdays, is that holiness is just going to be something that just shows up in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, we're told that holiness must be perfected. It's something that has to be worked on. It's something that has to be developed, and it takes time to do that. And if we don't take time, if we don't try to consciously, the time will be gone for it, and it will not develop. So how do we take time? Well, spend time with God. The song encourages to do that, as we sang, abide in him always, or spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. So how do you spend time with Jesus? Obviously, he's not standing right here physically. He might be standing right here in spirit, you know, so he should be a part of our lives. So the song tells it, pray, speak off with thy Lord. We need to make sure that we are praying when we sleep, before we go to sleep, when we wake up. Maybe you wake up in the middle of the night, pray. Make sure that a constant communication is going on between you and your Lord. You need that. And seek his blessings. That's what we're supposed to do. And then feed on his word. We need to be studying that. How do we develop ourselves spiritually if we're not making sure that we're developing ourselves in God's word? That's the place that we learn about him. That's the place that we learn to develop faith. As 1 Peter, tells us in chapter 2, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So we make sure that we need to have that. I think part of the problem is maybe we have so much other stuff. We really don't develop a desire for God, for his word, for his will. And we don't mold ourselves after that because, well, it's just not what I want to do. When we think about idea of prayer and what we should receive from that, and prayer shouldn't be just about what we're going to receive, but we need to understand or at least remember that when we pray, Christ is there to intercede for us. And we need that intercession. And he is a part of our lives always. In Hebrews chapter 4, if you read in verses 14 through 16, he says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God wants us to come there. He wants us to present ourselves to Him, seeking His help, seeking His supplication, supplicating ourselves to Him. And if you read in Hebrews chapter 7, we had this high priest. He says in verse 26, "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices for his own, and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints high priests who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever." We have an awesome high priest. And this high priest makes intercession. He stands between us and God, seeking our benefit. And we need to seek that. We need to rely upon that. So spend time with God. And then the song tells us that we need to spend time with God's children. Well, again, that's something that a desire that we have to develop. It's important because we have people, as Peter would describe them, of like precious faith. They had the same goal of heaven, the same aspiration to be able to get there, the same path. And of course, everybody has that same path, but they've gotten on the path with us. The early Christians did that, and if you look in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Christians gathered together. They assembled with one another. They built upon one another. They were looking to have the strength which came from those numbers. And we do that because it helps us. It helps us to grow. If you look over in Hebrews chapter 3, what he says in verse 12 through 14, he says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses?" Think about those individuals that, as a mass, they turned away. But we have each other to help ensure faithfulness and steadfastness. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about their being together, that they're not forsaking the assembling of themselves together. That may be partly on the first day of the week. It may be just times when Christians need to be together. And there are times other than a Sunday gathering that we should be a part of each other's life to strengthen and encourage each other. The song talks about helping those who are weak. And that's something that, again, as we just read, is important for us to do because we're trying to make sure that we all make it. Now, again, we all understand that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of God alone, right? Maybe a lot of people there, but we're going to answer for each of the deeds that we have done. You won't be answering for mine, which is good for you, and I won't be answering for yours, which might be good for me, you know? So we have to remember that each one of us will be answering, but as a group, as a body, we want to encourage each other, build each other up, so each of us can make it to heaven. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, here's what he says about that. We exhort you, brethren, in verse 14, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, and see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. So build each other up. The idea of being patient with one another. We know that we're weak sometimes. I need your patience sometimes, and you need patience sometimes. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, remember whenever Paul was talking to the Galatians, he's telling them things that they need to do to make sure they're inheriting life, that they need to reap, sow the right things so that they could reap the right things. In Galatians chapter 6, do not be deceived, God's not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. He says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let me ask you, are we looking for the opportunity to help? Or are we closing our eyes to it? Well, because I don't have enough time to go help anybody. Because I'm really, really covered up. I'm busy. And we are busy. And that's the point. We need to make sure we're taking time. The benefits of taking time. Well, what do we get when we pray to God? If you look over in Hebrews in chapter 4, excuse me, not Hebrews, Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6, Paul writes this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Is there anything like that in the world? You think about the rat race that we get into and how quick life is moving. Do we get any real assurance like that? We go looking for those things that, well, now we're all taken care of? There isn't anything like that. What comes to that is that we take time to be a part of God, to let Him be a part of us, to get to know Him, to strive to know Him, to try to be like Him. And then we can be anxious for nothing. We can let Him know because as our Father, He wants to know the things that concern us, the things that we need, the things that we hurt with. And He says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God is providing a way. He's providing the comfort that we need in our lives if we pray to Him. And if we meditate upon His will, there's comfort for that for us as well. Look over in this book of Psalms, in the Psalm, the first Psalm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. What's the benefit of that? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Each one of us can have strength and reliance upon God, understanding that in all our trials and tribulations, God is going to be there for us. It was read last week in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, he's not talking about that I can just pick an occupation that I want to go do and say, well, God's going to strengthen me. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying in the hard things that we endure or the good times that we endure, if relying upon God, we can be assured we're going to be able to do things right because God's going to help us. God's Spirit is a part of our lives. We need to make sure that we're bearing the fruit that he needs. In Galatians, again, chapter 5. Those things ought to cause us to want to be getting to know God, to take time to be holy. And then the ultimate goal of discipleship is to be like him. If you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just by the Spirit of the Lord. So as we're looking into God's Word, and it becomes the mirror that we gauge ourselves by, it's not to see is our, well, I would say our hair in place, because that's not really going to work for me. But, you know, the idea of our clothes and things being straight, right? It's about, do I look like God? Am I reflecting Him in the way that I live, in the way that I act, in the way that I speak? Are we like God? That's the mirror that we're looking in, so we will be more Christ-like if we're taking time to be holy. I'm going to suggest that won't happen by accident. It has to be determined that we do that, determined in our mind, our conscious choice, decision. And then it's going to be noticed by others. The idea is that we need to make sure that we are reaching out to people, to help people. And notice what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read 12 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 12 through 16. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you'll save both yourself and those who hear you. Because people, when they hear us, they want to see that we're living and being like we're talking, right? And they know. So we have to take time in order to be ready to do that as well. That's our service to God, that we can serve Him in His kingdom, that we can not only bear fruit in our lives by how we live, but bring others to Him and encourage others. That's something that we need to make sure we're ready to do. There's going to come a time and it's going to be too late to do these things. There's going to become a time where it's too late to make changes in our lives because our bodies get used to certain things, whether it's smoking or drinking or habits that we develop. Sometimes it's our speech and our cussing, and it's hard to break those habits. And we're going to answer to God, and it's not going to be a convenient time for us if we aren't preparing to do that. So with all the time-saving things that we have in this world today, surely we should have enough time to make changes in order to be able to serve God. So we're going to sing this next song as an invitation, Time Enough Yet. And I want you to think about the words of this song. O soul of mine, be not alarmed at what the Lord may say. Some future time, when I'm old, I'll choose the heavenly way. There are some who think that way. He says, I'm strong enough, I need no help. It's pleasure that I crave. When I have drunk life's sparkling cup, I'll call on Christ to save. The Holy Spirit's tender voice entreats me night and day. And ere I go and sin too far, I'll turn and Him obey. Sin always takes us farther than we want to go. You start that path, it's hard to turn around. Today, O friend, may be the last. Stop now and count the cost. You stand condemned before the throne, your soul forever lost, if you don't make the change to serve God. The chorus, the first three verses, time, time, time enough yet. Oh soul, why be alarmed? The heavenly way I'll choose someday. There's time, time enough yet. The reality is lost, lost. Oh, what a cry from souls along the shore. In darkness to go, in sorrow and woe, and be lost, lost forevermore. Now is the time to make the change in our lives. Now is the time to discern, to decide, to concern ourselves with God and to carve out time that He wants in our lives. Make Him our priority and let the other things fit in around Him, instead of having God fit in around those other things. If you're answerable in any way to the Lord's invitation, if you want to make a change to your life, we would love to help you. Let us know while we sing the song.